Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. Usually sometime in early fall, around September, I start asking the Lord. Sometimes he tells me earlier, but rarely. What do you want to do for our retreat? What should we do? And I started writing some ideas down, which how it usually goes. I'll write things down, and then I have all these pieces of paper, and I'm carrying them around. And sometime in November, I think, Christy came to me, and she goes, do you know what you're doing for the retreat? I go, not 100%, but I have some things that the Lord has shown me, and I'm writing them down. And she had been speaking with Lori Butler, and she said, can Lori and I talk to you? Because maybe we have some ideas, the things the Lord's showing us. I go, sure. Well, you know, Thanksgiving comes, and then Christmas, and then New Year's, and here we are. I think it was January 5th. We finally got together, and the three of us, and then Janet Oren came because she does our worship, and we wanted her there. And the four of us sat down, and basically, just tell me what you're thinking, God's saying. Tell me what you're thinking, and we just kind of all went around. And, I had already talked to Christy one other time. We'd sat and talked about this, and we were doing it. I know. What if we did what's it called? Oh, what if Extreme Makeover? And we kind of laughed about it. Well, we're all sitting there and we're talking, and they're all sitting there and sharing their things, and I'm writing little things down that they're saying. And I go, you know what? If we did that Extreme Makeover thing, I said, you know, I could talk about the need for a makeover, it's need for a makeover, returning to the need for your first love. And then Christy was sharing her heart, and it was just really cool. In an hour and a half, we all four knew what we were going to do. I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, so this is nothing like what I thought God was ever going to speak through me, but hey, he's God. I'm having a lot of trouble. I can either be close to the mic or I can't see my word. There we go. Okay. It's 1992. Eric and I have just received the keys for our new home. It's not just a home we're moving into that somebody else has lived in. We're talking a brand new home that God's given us. A home that no one has ever been in before. Everything in this home was new. We're talking the walls were perfect. There were no nicks, no marks, no holes like in these walls after tonight. There was no nothing. The cupboards in the kitchen, there were more cupboards than I was ever going to need. And we had lived in two previous upstairs apartments, Eric and I, old homes. So the windows would barely open, and if they did, you had to hurry up and shove a board under them to keep them up. And being on the second floor, the outside never got washed by me. But this new house, the windows tilted in, and I could wash the outside. And they opened and shut. It was just like, wow, everything was new. And everything was fresh. Everything was clean. Everything was just bright. It was newly painted. There was no hot pink, and I'll get to that in a minute. The carpet was just new and soft. You walk on it, and you could see your footprints in it. The floors in the kitchen and the bathroom were all shiny and no scuff marks, nothing. The basement was over 300 square feet bigger than our whole apartment we had. So we had, it's a ranch, so we had 1.5 times more space, or almost 2 times more space, between 1.5 and 2. Those of you that do math can tell me what it was, probably 2.75. Anyway, more space than we had had. And so, it's new, it's clean, it's, now it's exciting because we had 1/4 acre. You know what? We might as well have had 10 acres because we didn't have anything before. And we had a washer and dryer of our own. I had never had one. And I could wash my clothes whenever I wanted. Andrew had his own bedroom. For the first 11 months of his life, he slept in a hot pink bathroom for his room. It was a very large bathroom, and so his bedroom was in there. We just had to pee really quietly at night. And There was a place for everything in this house. Oh, and we had a garage that connected to our kitchen. I didn't even have to walk outside. And then we moved in with an 11-month-old. We were so careful. We didn't want smudges on the walls or the windows, so I'm always walking around getting little fingerprints and little hand smudges off. And the cupboards and closets became filled. We filled them with dishes and food and clothes, shoes, toys, and stuff I still probably haven't seen since then. There was no eating in the living room. We didn't wear our shoes on the carpet. If anything got spilled, I mean, we're talking, immediately cleaned it up. Resolve Carpet Cleaner was one of my closest friends back then. We had a routine plan of improvements and updates that we wanted to make. I mean, we had this little chart, and it was everything was labeled by a high or a low priority, and then in that everything was numbered. So we had this thing, and we did the first thing. The first thing was we needed to get the yard put in. So Eric, oh my goodness, this man is out there tilling, and I don't know if you know, but rocks just keep coming out of the ground, and he just kept getting it. And then my mom saw a yard by her house that had the most beautiful yard. Remember that, Mom? So Mom goes over and asks the guy. She doesn't remember, but it's happened. She asked the guy, where did you get your grass seed? And he gave her the recipe he had. Like, he had so much fescue and so much. And I went to the store that could give me all, and we had just the right amounts of all these seeds for Eric to put the yard in. We planted flowers. We planted shrubs. We repainted some of the rooms. We put wallpaper border up. We put curtains up, some blinds up. We put some different trim up. We rearranged furniture. We got new used furniture. And somewhat at one point, we got new furniture. I don't know how that happened, but that was God again. And We kind of kept it clean regularly. I'm saying that because I remember Andrew saying, is it small group tonight? Because I was cleaning. It just happened to be Friday. We built a deck. So we just had things that we had put in place, you know, things that we were going to do to try to keep the place looking nice and new. And then life started happening. Food began to appear in the living room. And it's consumed all over. Wherever there's carpet, we started eating. A spaghetti stain that will always be, gets hidden by an area rug. A baseboard gets ruined whenever a little boy at small group decides to put these little plastic buttons. He thinks it's a coin slot, so he puts all these little plastic buttons in, and we didn't find out till he came on the next night, or the night. Blinds don't get dusted for a few times, maybe, you know, a little bit more than a few. And have you ever washed a blind out in the grass? You get dandelion stuff all over them. And it doesn't matter what you do, you come back in and now the dust is gone, but now you have grass in your house. Shoes get worn on the carpet. Just this one time, okay, go ahead, wear the shoes. Just a few small stones fall out and you can't even see the dirt. Eventually, routine maintenance gets old, and it gets time-consuming. Routine cleaning, not yet, that becomes dull and often becomes routine straightening. A faucet begins to drip. A leak develops under the sink. Sidewalk gets chipped because your son has a hammer outside. But the sidewalk starts to sink in a little bit. The driveway gravel disappears into the mud. A dented wall appears where someone tried to stand on their head. I'm not going to tell you. It wasn't me. It wasn't her either. Paint colors get outdated. Carpet gets worn. Deck boards rot. You know, soon the house needs more than just a thorough cleaning or a weekend touch-up to get the house back in order. Neglect, even more neglect, may require stripping down to the studs. Long-term neglect may require demolition of a room or demolition of the whole house. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, the verses are all in your notes, but you can look them up. But they are in there in your notes if you want to follow along. God's saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This portion is scripture in Deuteronomy 6, actually verses 4 through 9. I just read 4 and 5, but up through 9. It's one of the most important texts to the Jews. And it was also important to Jesus. He repeated it in the New Testament, and he called it the greatest commandment. When I was 12 years old, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And then I kind of became my own God. And I just did my own thing throughout my teenage years. I mean, I still went to church, but I kind of did my own thing. I was my own God. I made my own decisions. In January 1982, I had graduated from college. I was substitute teaching, and I was taking some grad classes. And that's, I remember one night, God got a hold of my heart. And I remember telling him that night, if you can help me to live through the night, because I thought I was going to die, if you can get me through the night, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And he's held me to that. But I remember how fresh life seemed to me. I remember the next morning I woke up and I just started cleaning my bedroom closet. And it was like God was just like cleaning me out as I was physically cleaning out a closet. My heart felt clean. I felt love like I had never felt before. And I want to say that, because I don't say this later, but I want to tell you that even though I did feel love like I'd never felt before, in 2002, the Lord just poured his love out on me all over again. And I remember feeling like, man, I've been saved a long time. See, how much is that? 82, 92, 2000, oh, 20 years. I'm pretty good at that math. I had been saved 20 years, and I really didn't realize the depth. I still don't understand the depth of God's love, but that was the first time I realized I hadn't ever experienced the depth of it. But at that point, I felt love like I never had before. And so when I asked Jesus to come and live inside of me, I promised to love him, and I promised to serve him. And life was exciting. I couldn't wait to read my Bible. I remember just doing all kinds of different Bible studies. Perhaps you were young when you got saved. Maybe you don't remember getting saved. Maybe you've only been saved a few weeks. Well, I want you to know that it's never too late to experience the newness of God's love. Maybe you've asked Jesus in your heart, but you've never realized that he wants you, to love him with your whole heart. He wants you to love them with everything that's inside of you. He wants you to love him with everything that you've got. Everything. You know, when we moved into our new home, we did all that we could to keep it new and fresh. Well, I want to ask you, what are you willing to do to keep your love for God new and fresh? And do you love him with everything you've got? In Revelations 2 through 5, he says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my namesake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You guys, these people were working for the Lord. It says here that they were enduring hard times by holding on to the Lord and not growing weary. And that he tells us to hold on to him. He tells us to not grow weary. These people were doing that. And they were looking out for false teachers. And they were so caught up in what they were doing, they had forgotten their first love. They were doing all the right things. Well, just as life happened in my new home, and one by one things became old, it's too easy to forget the incredible love that God has for me. It's easy to forget that he left all the rest of the sheep to come after me. It's easy to forget that a life was given and blood was shed so that I could experience his love. It's just too easy for me to forget. And it's easy to get caught up in doing the right things and forget why we're doing them. He tells the people here, he says, Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Then he says, repent. And so he tells them, repent. That means to change their minds, you know, to turn back. You know how Kirk always tells us, we're going this way and you turn the other way. To go back and do what they did at first. That's what he wanted them to do. You see, I cannot treat his love like I treat old carpet, walking all over it with no regard to how dirty I am or where I've allowed my feet to walk. Are you able to see any ways that your love for Jesus has changed over the years? And are you willing to repent and change and go the opposite direction if that's what is required? Psalm 139, 23 through 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Every time I read that, I think of Kirk doing that thing with his fingers. Remember how he would, remember how he says that? I don't know. Anyway, I remember. We're in a good place when we ask the Lord to know our hearts and our thoughts. It's like we're opening ourselves up and we're wanting him to thoroughly know and to recognize and to acknowledge us and to take notice of our heart. That's what we're asking him. Lord, take notice of my heart. And when we take time to perform routine maintenance and cleaning of our homes, and maybe we even take extra time to clean in the closets and clean in the corners and look for damage we wouldn't ordinarily see. You see, I don't want to wake up one day and have so many cobwebs in my life that I can't see or remember what Jesus has done for me. I need to take the time now to listen and to ask him to search me and show me the dirt in my life. As I get older, I can't bend as well. I can bend. Oh, just not as well. No, I'm just kidding. Just not as well. And I can't get under things like I used to, and I can't see like I used to. And just as I need more help with my house cleaning, and that's why my mom lives with me. I'm just kidding. We just take our glasses off and everything looks great. And just as I need help with the house cleaning, I need to daily ask Jesus to show me my heart and to clean me. We look to all kinds of things to help for help in our lives. I mean, I look on Facebook sometimes for help. we turn to TV. I got to veg right now. Or we go turn to friends. You know what? We need to ask Jesus. He's the one that's going to lead us in the way that's going to last forever. So are you willing to ask him to search your heart and your thoughts? And are you ready for what he may show you? Psalm 51, 7 through 10 says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This psalm was written after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed. He was trying to cover up that he had slept with Bathsheba. Some of you don't know that. And so he goes, if I could kill her husband, then no one will know that he's not the one that impregnated her. Well, he wasn't expecting that. He got a visit from the prophet Nathan, who God sent to him. And Nathan's like, listen, God knows what you did. This is April's paraphrase, okay? I know what you did, and there's going to be judgment in your house. There's going to be judgment for what you did. And so David, he's just beside himself. He ended up writing Psalm 51 after hearing that from the Lord. So here he is asking God to cleanse me. You cleanse me, and I'll be whiter than snow. You create in me a pure heart. You renew a steadfast spirit with me. I'm going to ask you, what have you done? You know, where have you been? How long have you done things your own way? It's not too late to have him repair your life. Let him wash you. Let him cleanse you. Let him make you new. The Hebrew word there for clean means uncontaminated, bright, sounding clear. So it's just like, it's just new again. It's not just wiped off and the marks removed. It's like new again. And allow him to give you a pure heart and a steadfast spirit. You can't do it on your own. Your righteousness, the best that you have to offer God, is just like filthy rags. Last year, and it's funny because, like I say, I mean, this just happened. I didn't even know what I was going to be teaching on, but then all this other stuff happened. But last year, my home underwent some great transformation. For Christmas a year ago, Eric and I bought each other carpet, but we bought carpet for ourselves for a Christmas present. And so we had new carpet installed. And then I turned 50 this past year. I'm lying. I turned 60 and I was gone. I don't even know if it was actually my birthday, but I was gone for part of a weekend. And Andrew and Christy came over to my house. And we had been talking, she and I, throughout the winter. Actually, we started talking in the fall, but throughout the winter, because we were going to paint our shutters. My house is gray and with maroon shutters. We were going to paint the shutters navy blue. And my favorite color is like a lime green. Diane, hold that up. That's my favorite color. And we painted my door that color. And I tell you, no, I don't say we. They painted my door that color. It is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. They cleaned out my flower beds. I mean, I didn't come home. They were expecting me to come home and I didn't come home. And I end up at my sister-in-law's house. Paula's back there. I ended up at her house. They were having a family dinner. And so they ended up showing me pictures. And I'm just like, you're kidding. I couldn't wait to get home. But anyway, they did that. And then during the summer, we needed to replace some parts of our deck. Plus we wanted to enlarge it. So Andrew came to the rescue and he enlarged our deck. And then our driveway, we got our driveway redone. We were able to put more new culvert and just widen it. And I tell you what, each of those projects allow our house to function better for us. And it keeps our house from becoming a demolition project. And in the same way, God has been doing improvement projects in my life. And I'm so glad he didn't just save me and then just leave me on my own. Just as we need to keep up with improvement projects to keep our house from falling apart, God's been telling me that time with him and his word is the only thing that's going to keep me from falling apart. I love looking at the restoration that's taken place in my home. I'll pull in my driveway sometimes and I'll just sit and stare at my door. It's so pretty. And then she made me this really cool wreath. I don't know how to describe it, but it's not pine. It's like a ring. It looks so pretty on that green door. I still have it up even though it's Christmassy. But even though I like seeing that restoration, and I'm excited about it, I'm even more excited about the transformation that God's doing in my life. Because a year ago, I'm just different than I was a year ago. And I know if you're around me long enough, you'll see that there's still too much of me there. But you know what? He is just changing me. I just can't believe it. My granddaughter is going to kindergarten now, and she has to go 18 minutes away to catch her bus. It's a little far to walk. And so Christy's home with two little boys, so I offer to take her. So I come in and I pick up Ava, I get up at 5, a little after 5, and I leave the house. I try to leave the house at 5, well, I try to leave the house at 5:40, so I try to get up at 5. It's usually 10 after, but anyway. I try to leave the house, and then I go and I sit in this parking lot that's down the street from their house. And I just sit there, and it's just me and the Lord. And then there's this one guy that works there, because he always sees me. And I sit there, and I have all my little books and my journal, everything. I keep in the glove compartment. And it is just such a beautiful thing to be able to sit there with the God of the universe and to have him speak to you. And I would be really lying if I told you that every day was the most beautiful thing I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that I sat there for 45 minutes with him and it wasn't enough, and I wanted to spend another hour. There are days where it's like that, but it's so few far in between. But I tell you what, I'm striving and I'm seeking, I'm searching for him. One of the words for seeking him, I can't even tell you what the number, I think the word was dashod. And listen to what it means. It's kind of like, you know how if you have a house and you have a best friend that lives next door and you guys wear a path back and forth? Well, this word to seek God is kind of like that. It's to wear a path to him. And I'm looking forward to the day where I have that path. And I'm just so grateful. I know my mom's always saying, April, you're getting up too early. You're doing too much. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm doing this because I want to spend time with Jesus. And if I wait and take Ava to school and I come here, you know what happens? I forget about him. I work in a church. How can you forget about God? But you know what? We just get busy doing all the whatever, books, plunging toilets, whatever we have to do that day. Now I forget where I'm at in my notes. But I'm telling you, he's just transforming me. And I'm excited. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He doesn't just fix me up and make me look good. He's restoring me. He's shaping me into what he created me to be. I'm not an antique car that just gets some paint and new seat covers. No, I am a new creation in Christ. His word is alive, and his word is restoring me. He wants to refresh us. This word also means refresh, to revive, and also means to convert. He wants to refresh, revive, restore, convert my soul. He wants to make all of us more useful for his kingdom. And he isn't done with me, and he isn't done with you. I have watched enough Property Brothers to know. That means I have cable. In case you're keeping track of all the things I sin. No. I've watched enough. Okay, I already said that part. Many homes just need a thorough cleaning. You just kind of can do things and you can get them back to order. Others need like a weekend warrior to spruce it up. And every so often, you need a year like I had where you do several big home improvement projects to get things accomplished. And sometimes a home needs to get way down to the studs and have its foundation shored up in order to be restored. And just as no home is beyond restoration, no life is beyond restoration. We need to return to our first love and love the Lord our God with everything we have. We need to love him more than our kids, way more than our grandkids, more than our time, more than our retirement account, or if we don't have one, more than we wish we had a retirement account. We need to love him more than we want to go on vacation. And we need to take the time and ask him to search our heart and show us the dirt. We need to allow him to cleanse us and to create in us a pure heart and a steadfast spirit. We need to allow him to restore to us what he created us to be. God wants to live in us. He wants to abide in us. And he wants us to abide and live in him. He's looking for a clean heart that is bent towards him. In Hosea chapter 6, in the Amplified, it says, "Come and let us return in repentance to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. So let us know and become personally acquainted with him. Let us press on to know and understand fully the greatness of the Lord, and to honor, heed, and deeply cherish him. His appearing is prepared and is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us in salvation like the heavy rain, like the spring rain watering the earth." That word where it says, "Come, let us return," that return is the exact same Hebrew word as he restores my soul. So he wants us to come to him for restoration. And then it says, let us know and become personally acquainted with him. That know here is the same word where earlier where we said we wanted God to know our hearts and our thoughts. It's that same word. So he wants us to be personally acquainted with him, just as he is already personally acquainted with us. And he's coming back, it says, just as sure as the sun came up today. And it says that his return has been established and set in place. We need to be ready. That just blows my mind. I already know he has everything in order, but when I read that he has it already set in place, it's already there. We're just not, you know, I'm trying to think of who it was. Oh, I think it was Moses. Kirk alluded to it, and I had just read it that week when he did it. Whenever God was telling Moses, like, tonight is when you're leaving Egypt, in Exodus it says at the exact time God had already planned for it to happen. It wasn't one day sooner. It was exactly when he said. And he says he will come like the spring rain. This is a soaking, steady, heavy rain that goes way down to those roots, because you've got to get those roots wet so they can hold up in that heat and that sun. And so let us not be satisfied and content with status quo lives. He wants us to come to him in repentance with a heart that is willing to change. He wants to restore us and give us new life. He wants us to know and become personally acquainted with him. He wants us to honor, heed, and cherish him. He wants our heart to be his home and his alone. Ladies, don't get used to the worn-out carpet and the marked-up walls. God has so much more in store for you. Let him have his way. Let him do his work in you. Let him make your heart brand spanking new and your life in him fresh and exciting. That's what we're here for this weekend. We're here to see our need for a spiritual makeover and to be willing to allow him to refresh our souls. I am horrible at always ending when I'm teaching. Already, I'm done and I'm going on to the next thing. I'm going to pray, and then when I'm done, I want you, in your folders on the same side where your notes were, there's a, says discussion questions for Friday night. After I'm done praying, I want you to get those out. And for 5 minutes, I want you just to sit with your eyes closed, I mean, as much as you can, because ask the Lord, what is the Lord speaking to you? Write it down on that piece of paper. And then at the top is the discussion questions we're going to do in a few minutes. And at the bottom, it says personal reflection. These are just questions I put on here for you to think about, just things I've been thinking about. So let me go ahead and, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that that you want us to be at home with you and that you want to make your home in our hearts. I thank you. And I ask God that we wouldn't be content. We would find our contentment in you, but we wouldn't be content with where we are. That, Lord, that we would ask you and allow you to show us things in our lives. And that, Father, that we would be ladies that would be doing the things that you want us to do, but with our eyes on you the whole time. That, Lord, that we wouldn't forget what you've done for us. That, Lord, that we wouldn't forget that you are the one that's on the throne of our lives. And that, Father, that we would treat you, just as we learned last Sunday, you are king. And that we would be subject to you. Father, will you show us? Father, we're all at different places. We're all at different places in our walk. But, Lord, I just ask that you would show us if there be anything in our lives that isn't pure, anything in our lives that isn't set on you, that you would show us. Lord, will you change us and just make us more like you? Lord, you are so, so good. In Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead, just take 5 minutes, just you and the Lord, all by yourself, and then we'll do the discussion questions here in a minute, or 5 minutes.